Supporting the arts in Waterford. Showtime on WLR.
With thanks to Worldwide Wines.
WLR. You're very welcome to this week's Showtime podcast, brought to you as always by Worldwide Wines on the Dunmore Road. And we had Mr. Pat McAvoy in this week, and he took a look back with me at the Green Room Awards and some of the winners from last Sunday night. WLR.
Well, Pat, you're looking a little bit less tired today than you were at about, what was it, 12:45 in the morning?
No? That's right, on Sunday, on Monday morning Monday at that morning. Stage, yeah. It was a big evening in the Theatre Royal with the Green Room Awards. One thing I'm delighted with, Wayne, is that everybody compliments us on the amount of work that goes into the show.
Yeah, of course.
It's a massive show. It's a one-off. It's a massive show. And there's nobody doing this anywhere else in the country except ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a great thing to do, you know?
I would agree with you. A great night and some very big winners as well. So I think, let's go to the main story, Up, Down, Boy.
Yeah, well, now, Up, Down,
brilliant,
Boy.
Brilliant, brilliant show.
Absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I was hesitant when I said I would include an excerpt from Up, Down, Boy in the concert, because you don't usually find a playlet in a concert.
No.
But, I mean, on the night, there were people in the wings crying. There were people in the audience crying. It had a massive effect. And the scene ended to a standing ovation.
It did, yeah.
So you couldn't possibly ask for more. And the standing ovations for Up, Down, Boy continued when the awards came. You know, Sean Upton, who played Up, Down, Boy, was the absolute standout performer for Best Actor this year in amateur drama. And so was Brenda Giles, who played his mother. That play went on in St. Patrick's Gateway for, I think, 5 or 6 nights. And it was packed out. You couldn't get a ticket. But the audience reaction was truly astonishing.
And apparently Dave has made some comment that he's struggling to find a venue to get it back on. That's an
right.
awful pitch.
I can't understand that, because the play sold out, you know. And you would imagine Garter Lane or Theatre Royal would find a window somewhere in their calendar.
Well, surely they'd fill the place for several nights.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. But
it was quite the haul, though, Pat. I mean, you're talking Best Actor, Best Female Actor, Best Show and Best Director.
Yeah.
You can't get any more than that for a two-person play.
And speaking of Best Director, it took great courage for David Hennessy to mount that production.
It certainly did, yeah.
Because things could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
Let's face it, they could. And nobody would have thanked him. So it took great courage for David, for Sean and for Brenda to mount that production, and all those awards were well deserved.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you could tell the reaction.
Yeah, the reaction. Each of the awards got a standing ovation for Up, Down, Boy.
Yeah.
You know, so people recognised something that was different, that was high quality and that came from the heart.
Yeah, and it did.
Yeah.
And on the professional side then, I don't think there was any surprises either that it was Castel Gandolfo.
Yeah, the one thing about professional theatre is there's not a whole lot of it going on, Wayne.
Yeah.
So there was only a few productions throughout the year, and Castel Gandolfo was by far the outstanding production for the year. But there were other awards in there as well. The Hare got 2 awards.
Yeah.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant one-person show. And Derek Flynn got Best Director in professional theatre for his small production of Misery that moved around the southeast.
The Theatre Vamps are probably the most prolific company.
Oh, amazing.
100%. I opened Facebook last night and here he's doing a Neil Diamond show now, God bless him.
Well, no, I haven't heard that.
Yes.
The only one I couldn't take was the Fleetwood Mac one. No matter how many invitations I said, look, Derek, I just couldn't sit through that for an evening, you know?
You and me both, but I'm supposed to be objective here, Pat.
Well, speaking of Tremor, though, it was a good night for the county as well. Dungarvan picked up a few awards.
Yes, indeed.
Stradbally got Best...
Martin Rogers.
Youth Show.
And they were very quiet. You wouldn't know they were there.
No, the 45 kids that came in lifted the roof off the place.
They certainly did.
You know, Port Law got their first ever award this year as well.
Yes, they were absolutely true. Yeah, talking to them after in the FIA.
You know, Stradbally, Dungarvan, Port Law, Tremor, it's a great spread.
You mentioned the youth show and the youth performer, Caoimhe Scanlan. Now, she is an amazing performer.
Oh, she is. She played SpongeBob in SpongeBob the Musical. And she's a whole show, really. SpongeBob is SpongeBob. Her entire performance was astonishing. Her singing, her acting, her comic skills, her drama, her ability to act and react, and just to remain tacit at times while on stage, was extraordinary. It was a great performance.
The thing I find amazing about Caoimhe Scanlon is you feel she's been around for absolute eons.
But she has been around. I've seen her in, like, I saw her in Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
Small part, but terrific in it. And I've seen her in other shows as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had her singing in the Green Room Awards when she was only 12.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Now, I was delighted to see this Chamber Music Festival recognised.
Yeah.
Billy O'Brien, an absolute gentleman.
Oh, yeah. Billy.
Absolute gentleman.
Billy is from Butlerstown. I mean, I'd say he was born with a wail in G major.
Okay, yeah.
But he's the most musical person I know. His passion for chamber music and his passion to put Waterford out there on the map as a chamber music festival was great. The best place he could have done it was Mount Congreve. It was pure class all round. There was a whole weekend of performances that began on the Friday night that had workshops for kids the next day, that had a youth performance concert, which was just
stunning.
Amazing.
It was I wasn't there, but I heard it.
I mean, there were two kids played who were 12 and 15. They were brilliant. Hmm. And then the concerts themselves were just great. And they were all, it's a small venue, but they were all well sold out in advance.
Yeah, yeah,
and it brought people into Waterford as well.
Fantastic.
I just hope this continues now.
Well, I saw on Facebook that you had a post up, delighted with the Green Room Awards, and they're already planning 2025.
So well, I'm delighted.
I will definitely make it this year. Okay, let's talk about the biggest section, the musicals.
Oh, musical theatre in Waterford.
I suppose start with Crazy for You, which is the big winner this year.
Yeah, it was Best Choreographer and Best Show. Crazy
Best Male as well, Conor
Lyons. And Conor Lyons, of course, as well.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it was a fantastic show. It was like being in an MGM musical for an evening.
Yeah.
That's the way I described it. And it was, the commitment to that show was enormous because there were dancing sequences that never stopped, particularly the finale to Act One, which I remember was stopped stone dead in the middle by a standing ovation.
Yeah.
People sat down and then it started again.
Which nearly happened the other night.
Oh, yes,
well,
that's true.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, that is true. And their performance the other night was amazing. But it was a great show. I was so proud of the people in it. I'm proud of all Waterford performers.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. And the one thing about Crazy for You, it has an absolute gold standard score. Like, there are no dumb numbers in that show. It's brilliant.
But it's handpicked, Gershwin.
Yeah, handpicked. You said it. There's another show, Nice Work If You Can Get It.
Yeah.
Matthew Broderick was in it.
Yeah.
And the choice of music isn't what Crazy For You. Now, they obviously had to be different.
Yeah, every song in Crazy For You
is
a standout song.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, one of Jack's many productions, another of which you featured as a solo artist, Jenna Dunphy. Well, she sung Wicked, Defying Gravity. In, I think it was Dancing Down Broadway.
It was back last March, I think, that performance went on. And when I was sitting in the back of the theatre, back of Garter Lane, listening to it, and I heard Jenna singing that, I said, you're definitely going to be in the Green Room concert next year.
Well, she was absolutely...
Oh, yeah. The ovation that came.
Standout highlight.
Yeah, and there were stand-up, there was people, not everybody stood up, but the balcony stood up.
Yeah.
You know,
it was
an amazing performance for Jenna. Now, I have to tell you, Wayne, I sat through 3 hours of that musical waiting for Defying Gravity to come on.
Yeah.
Was it worth it? I don't know, but I love Defying Gravity.
Pat, first of all, Wicked is about 2 hours and 35 minutes, and it's at the end of Act One.
They're wrong again.
Now, Jenna would have been in Beautiful.
That's right.
Tennessee musical.
That's right.
She played Cynthia Vile, I think.
That's right. She was nominated for it as well. Yeah.
But the standout winner for Beautiful was Carol King herself, Alex Kavanagh.
Yeah, Alex Kavanagh's performance in Beautiful was simply stunning. Now, the one thing I would say about the musicals this year, they were all of a really incredibly high standard.
There was a great caliber.
There were five musicals nominated, and they were all incredibly strong.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, it would have been difficult to pick out any winner in any of them, but Alex Kavanagh did stand out over the entire year as the standout performer.
Yeah.
That's what I felt. There were other performances. Paula Weldon and Evita was amazing. You know, Jenny White in Crazy For You was terrific as well. There were three leads up in Carrick in 9 to 5. And again, all very strong leads. But for me, Alex stood out because she carried the entire show. And the biggest thing for me, I think the crucial difference for me that won it for her, was her transition from a young girl who wants to be a songwriter into a mature woman who goes through a breakup with a very self-obsessed man and then goes through all of that and goes on to
Stardom.
Yeah, and to be, nobody could have stifled that star. Nobody could have stifled the performance. And Alex Kavanagh really was Carol King on
totally
the night.
Totally deserved.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
She was fantastic.
And a lovely girl as well.
And she also sung in the concert as well. Along
that's
with
right.
Jimmy played and Caoimhe.
Yeah,
and,
that's
and,
right.
And
Jimmy Brockie did a fantastic job as MD. But MD went to the great Wayne Brown for a Vita with a score the size of a Bible.
There was a few bob in that envelope I gave you last week.
I don't think so, Wayne. the only thing I get in envelopes is abuse.
And bills.
Bills, actually. Bills and rejections.
Panto, Pat.
Oh, I love the panto.
A surprise to get four. Not only does one or two.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Well, you see, the technical awards, if you look at sound and lighting in the panto is terrific because all of the gags come with sound effects. They all have to be scripted, they all have to be spot on, and they all have to work. And the audience expects it. So, like, that's a huge feature. Another thing is, too, all the pools of lighting that are there for this variety. Like, the big thing about panto is everything is huge in panto. It's big; it's as big as a circus. You know, it's beyond theatrical.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why people like it. But so the technical awards are always good. They're always going to be in the mix for that. Tony Corcoran is the engine room behind the panto in many ways.
No one will argue.
Because he's doing this for a long, long time and he well deserves the award because the panto brings about a couple of thousand people into the Theatre Royal every Christmas and sends them out with a big smile on their face and their kids jabbering about the wonderful experience they've had.
Yeah.
I remember going to the panto when I was a small child and that's way back in the early 60s. And I just have a soft spot for the panto ever since. I love what people in panto do. It's entirely different. And I've seen people who've gone in from straight theatre, straight drama into panto, thinking it was going to be easy. Anything but. It's one foot on the piano and one voice in the balcony, and you have to belt it out from beginning to end.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The performers in the panto, they're all stars in their own right and they all blend seamlessly into it. And Ali Revel's choreography, year in, year out, is terrific.
Yeah. OK, Pat, so we'll come now to what are probably the big awards of the night. And the first one that we're going to hit, it was spectacular. The launch of the Winterville Christmas Festival event, that was fantastic.
Yeah, well, it's the people's choice.
Yeah.
There was a dozen nominations. People ring in and they make their own choice either online or I think you can phone in as well. Can you phone in? I'm not too sure about that. So we put a stall on that.
We'll call it online, Pat, just in case.
Yeah, we'll just say online.
I don't think Mary Francis was answering our mobile for the week there.
But there was a dozen different things listed and the European Christmas opening was the one that won. And it was a powerful opening. I mean, it was so colourful. It was so spectacular. It was beyond dramatic.
It was.
The lighting, the singing, the bands, the people in the street, dancing. It was just an amazing evening, you know?
I'm very glad that they got the recognition.
And it was great to see it. And as well as that, it wasn't one person chose it. It was everybody chose it.
Yeah.
Which it shows how much it matters to the people of Waterford.
It does. It does. It absolutely does. And we gave the best overall, or rather you gave the best overall event to the Chamber Music.
Well, it lasted an entire weekend.
Yeah,
and brought people into Waterford. Had huge stars, players on the whole weekend, and it was just great.
And then we came to the main event, Mr. James J. Nolan himself.
Yeah. Jim was our nomination for the Lifetime Achievement Award. And as I said to him afterwards, lifetime achievement for us means the achievements of a lifetime. And it's no single one achievement.
Yeah.
And that man has written about 20, I think he's written 25 plays. His work has been performed all over the world. His his representation of Waterford in his plays is a key element in it. But it's Waterford as a base for everybody else's experience of life. It might be small town life. Well, it's, I suppose, larger urban town life now. But he's in that, that space for as a playwright, which is kind of middle Ireland's, middle urban Ireland. And that representation is very, very strong.
Yeah.
He's been a great champion of the underdog. He's been a champion of people who just are on the margins. And a very, very... He's a great grasp of what drama is. You know, Castel Gandolfo, you had hooks in the opening three lines. In the last one, Johnny, I Hardly Knew You, people who were journalists said it was exactly... It was set in a newspaper office. It was exactly what a newspaper office.
And I don't
like.
Think anyone does a twist like Jim Nolan does a twist, because there is always a twist.
Oh, there's always a twist. There's always a twist.
Yeah.
And the strong representation is there always, you know.
Yeah.
So he's had a great career. He started in 1959, I didn't get the chance to say this the other night, with a one-act competition run by the Waterford News and Star, the price for which was £100 and a performance of what turned out to be The Flowers of May, his first ever play.
Yeah.
And that was where he started. And it was nice, it was fitting that that we were back on the stage of the Theatre Royal to honour him again
with the News and Star,
with the Waterford Lifetime Achievement Award. And, you know, academics have written about him. I've written a thesis on his work as well. And not many writers in Ireland have had that experience that people actually write about them.
No.
One of the things that I was astonished with when I started doing research into contemporary drama, and Jim especially, was how little was written about other contemporary Irish writers.
Mm.
So he has that to his credit now as well.
Well, I don't think anyone would argue at the point. What Jim Nolan has done for Waterford, and he would never put his hands up and say, yes, I've done that, because
yes.
He is just not like that. But what Jim Nolan has done for Waterford is just, I don't think it'll ever be equaled by anyone.
With the number of people he has inspired to go on to have careers in theatre.
This is all the
Waterford
things.
Youth Arts, the connection, and other young writers who are constantly in connection with him. You find out subtly, you know, the understated. Somebody will tell
exactly.
you, Jim was a
all
great help to me when I was writing
in
this.
The background.
Yeah.
Nobody ever knows what Jim Nolan does for people.
Yeah.
But I could guarantee you could throw a stone down Patrick Street and hit someone that...
The first time I met Jim was actually back in the Waterford Dramatic Society in Henrietta Street when he was in fifth year in school. And Liam Murphy was running workshops for young actors, and I was there as well with him at the time. And that was the first time I met Jim. And here we are a lifetime later, celebrating a lifetime in drama. Amazing.
Well, do you know what, Pat? Isn't that a perfect way to leave someone up what was a brilliant night?
It was indeed.
You should be very proud. Total kudos to the News and Star, Mary Francis and all the gang. Your sponsors, Cantec, the Waterford Credit Union and Blackwater Distillery
yes,
as well. I mean, it all came together to be one fantastic night.
Yeah, it was a fantastic night. It's great to be at the centre of it all. The buzz is incredible.
Yeah.
The strain is enormous.
You didn't know much about that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, once it gets going, you can throw that out the window. You're
yeah,
there.
Exactly,
you're
yeah.
in the moment. You're concentrating. And it's only when it's over that you kind of the shoulders, you know, that letdown feeling.
I do.
When the shoulders sag
and
you say,
and then you sleep for a week.
Yeah.
You're probably off and running again already. In fact, this is Wednesday when we're recording this, just to be
yes, and I'm up,
clear.
I'm heading for
and
the Little Shop of
Horrors. College to see
Little
Shop
of Horrors.
Horrors.
That's right. Well, actually, I love the Little Shop of Horrors.
It's a great show.
It's a great show, and you know the amount of there are quite a number of theses have been written about the Little Shop of Horrors as a representation of capitalism and globalization and all this kind of stuff.
Right, okay.
Oh yeah, the monster is capitalization or globalization, which is consuming. All of its young, all of the people that you see in the show.
Very good.
And the three girls are a core commentary on that.
Right.
And the people like the people in Skid Row are at the very bottom.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
down on Skid Row, you know. And people like the rest of the ordinary people that are represented, there's nobody well off in it.
Yeah.
Even Uznak, is he? What's the name of the fellow?
Mushnik.
Even Mushnik, who owns the vegetable shop. Sure, he's barely struggling to keep a living together.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really interesting show. And the music is great in it. I'm looking forward to it.
Brilliant. Well, we better not delay you, Pat. You
say no more.
Thank you very much. I'm Thank sure we'll you. Talk to you soon.
Yes, please, God.
Now, we lost another Waterford legend during the week, and he was, without doubt, one of the finest comedians and renowned during his years in Tops of the Town and for years after, Mr. Paddy Madigan. And I remember distinctly years ago when I started off doing the Tops documentary, one of the first people who actually welcomed me into his house and let me talk to him was Paddy. And he sat down for literally hours telling me stories. And I thought, well, let's include a couple of them tonight. Short little clips from the Tops documentary, which you can find on the WLR website. First up, Paddy told me all about the piano player that was hired for the Port and Lock show one year.
At that time, you only had the old piano in the theatre, and you had to get someone to play that at rehearsals and play that. And the only fellow we could get, he came down to Tom Cullen. I thought it was a joke. And Tom Cullen said, I'm at getting the best man in the town, he said. But anyway, the poor man was blind. Pat Powell was the musical director at the time, and he used to play with Martin. And when we wanted to stop, Pat used to hit him on the shoulder. And when he wanted him to go, he'd hit him again. So you can imagine the fun and the black arm that went on.
And then he told me the legend of Ikey Halligan, the magician, and the pigeons.
We had a fellow, Ikey Halligan was his name. And Ikey got the idea about being a magician, you see. So he got loaned to the pigeons and he brought him down to the Theatre Royal and he hit the Homer and he'd leave off all the pigeons and he'd take out the Homer, and the minute the rest of the pigeons saw the Homer, they'd all fly back. We must have done it about 10 times. So the next thing, we went down to the theatre that night, and with the crowds and all that, he left off all the pigeons and they all went up on the chandeliers. And the next thing, he took out the Homer and the pigeons wouldn't come down because everyone was laughing in the night and they were all and you're sitting down on the people in the stores.
And here's May Sage and Paddy with a story about tickets for Tops of the Town.
We were down one night at a final. It is the only time ever that I didn't get a ticket for a Tops of the Town show. I was outside heartbroken. You see, I had little to worry about, but I was heartbroken. So Paddy Madigan came along and said, no, he said, there's two tickets. God, I said, up we goes, and we up into the balcony. Paddy poured the bed of heaven to us, shows us to our seats. The seats are taken. And I said to the lady, excuse me, you're sitting in my seat. No, she said, I'm not, these are mine. So Paddy Power said, well, you sit down on the steps till interval. Grand, we sat down on the steps. Interval came, the lights went on. And what was Paddy Madigan after doing? Giving us the tickets belonged to the night before. And I insisted to the woman that she was sitting in my seat. So good enough out of Paddy Power, he said, right, you can stay there, he said, for the next show. Maybe he shouldn't have done it, I don't know. But he left to sit there for the final.
I was looking down on the balcony all night and the two of them were sitting on the steps. So they saw the two shows anyway and they came out and they said, you're some bastard, Paddy Madigan. Boy, they were for the night before then tickets.
Well, there you go. Just a few memories of a legend, Mr. Paddy Madigan, who sadly left us this week. But he'll never be forgotten. If you want to check out some of the videos, there's some up on the Waterford Theatre Archive. I can highly recommend the Dockendale sketch, which was absolutely hilarious. So do spend a couple of minutes, if you can, remembering the best of us, a true Tops legend, Mr. Paddy Madigan. W-L-O-R.
Well, that's our lot for this week. I do hope that you enjoyed listening to some of the content we had on this week's show. Don't forget to subscribe on your favourite podcast player, and this will drop automatically onto your inbox every single week, straight after the show. Now, I do recommend going and listening to the playback on WLRFM.com of the entire show, and you'll get to hear some brilliant performances that were recorded live on the theatre stage during the Green Room Awards. And that, along with all of our other shows, is available for free on WLRFM.com. That's all for this episode, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Supporting the arts in Waterford, Showtime on WLR.
With thanks to Worldwide Wines. WLR.